This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
No Sessions if there's a Russia probe. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, Friday, March 3rd. Thanks for being with us. Here's what's up this hour.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions says he'll recuse himself from any investigation into Donald Trump's run for president.
The FBI director met behind closed doors with the House Intelligence Committee about allegations of Russian election meddling.
If you're like many Americans, you're planning to work at least a little in retirement. We'll have some things to keep in mind.
And college athletes accused of crimes who get kicked off one team yet pick up a scholarship at another school.
In the past about 5 years, more than 100 Division I football and men's basketball players who faced really serious charges, so felonies or major misdemeanors, often got disciplined by one team or kicked out of school and then transferred to another team and got another shot at stardom.
Wall Street Journal reporter Melissa Korn looks at how coaches and school administrators handle troubled athletes. She's here in about 25 minutes. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says he will avoid involvement in any investigation related to the 2016 presidential race. His announcement yesterday followed a day of pressure from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle after we learned he had conversations with a Russian official while advising the Trump campaign, even though he had testified in Senate confirmation hearings that he did not.
We talked about a little bit about terrorism, as I recall, and somehow the subject of the Ukraine came up. I had had the Ukrainian ambassador in my office the day before.
As I pointed out yesterday, though, the controversy is really about semantics. Mr. Sessions is not denying he met with the Russian ambassador while a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He's saying they didn't discuss anything election-related. That's not enough for Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Because the Department of Justice should be above reproach for the good of the country, Attorney General Sessions should resign.
Mr. Sessions announced his recusal just hours after President Trump said he had total confidence in Mr. Sessions. The House Intelligence Committee met with FBI Director James Comey in a closed-door meeting yesterday. California Congressman Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat, said the committee would investigate allegations of collusion between Republican Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign and Russian officials. Mr. Schiff says Mr. Comey was tight-lipped when asked about investigations into any Russian meddling in the U.S. election.
We cannot represent to the American people that we're doing a thorough job if either the Department of Justice or the FBI is unwilling to tell us what indeed they've looked at, what leads they have followed, where they have found substance, and where they have not.
Committee members questioned Mr. Comey for more than 3 hours about the scope of the FBI investigations and any individuals who may be the subject of any counterterrorism investigation. U.S. intel analysts say they've concluded Russia tried to help Mr. Trump win the White House by discrediting Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton and her party through cyber attacks. The White House has dismissed the analysis as a scam perpetrated by Democrats who are sore losers. Moscow has also denied the claims. Another controversy over private email use by an elected or appointed official. Vice President Mike Pence routinely used a private email account to conduct public business as governor of Indiana. The Indianapolis Star says at times he discussed sensitive matters and homeland security issues. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Emails show Mr. Pence communicated via his personal AOL account with top advisors. In one email, his top state Homeland Security advisor relayed an update from the FBI about arrests on federal terror-related charges. Cybersecurity experts question whether such sensitive information was protected from hackers. Mr. Pence's personal account was hacked last summer. His office in Washington yesterday said, quote, similar to previous governors, he maintained a government and personal email account. And as governor, he fully complied with Indiana law regarding email use and retention. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. IndyStar.com, by the way, says Indiana law does not prohibit public officials from using personal email accounts, although the law is generally interpreted to mean that official business conducted on private email must be retained for public record purposes. Mr. Pence's office said his campaign hired outside counsel as he was departing as governor to review his AOL emails and transfer any involving public business to the state. Mr. Pence, an AOL email, really? It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. President Trump, whose new tone in addressing Congress this past Tuesday drew praise mostly from the GOP, now faces the daunting task of lining up votes for things like a tax overhaul, a replacement for the Affordable Care Act, and other agenda items that have splintered his fellow Republicans. It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Ted Mann. Ted, what are you hearing?
The story comes after Trump gave a speech that really seemed to set a lot of his Republican colleagues at ease, just the tone of it. But what that then highlights is how much he's got to then go get the votes together for a lot of the legislative agenda that he wants to pass. And that's not going to be that easy, whether it's repealing Obamacare and replacing it with something, finding votes for an infrastructure package that could be very difficult, given the reticence of some conservatives, and then this massive tax overhaul that he and the Republican leadership all want to complete, but which is going to require some really tough negotiation among the factions that are going to either win or lose, depending on how they write the law.
All right. So obviously this is not some low-hanging fruit here. What kind of work is ahead for him in trying to secure votes?
Well, I mean, if you look at the healthcare law, which is where they want to start, you have real deep disagreement among Republicans in the Congress. It's not, I mean, Democrats are not universally opposed, but are very overwhelmingly opposed to doing anything that Trump or the Republican leadership want to do. But within the Republican Party itself, between the House and the Senate, you have different camps who some want to sort of use refundable tax credits to help people get health insurance in the absence of Obamacare. You have a lot of fiscal conservatives who hate that idea of a refundable tax credit. I think Senator Graham from South Carolina referred to it as repackaging Obamacare and calling it something else. So there are big fights to be had among the Republicans, and the president could be the one to have to try to work out a compromise there if he wants them to actually find a way to create a new program and install that in place of what we have now.
Is this the type of work that he wants to do?
Oh, you know, impossible to get inside his head. Clearly, the president has been very loud about wanting to do these big legislative initiatives and to get them done this year, meaning health care, meaning tax reform, meaning an infrastructure package. The rubber meets the road in actually getting these things through the legislative branch of the government, where you have lots of different members of Congress with lots of different constituencies who are not all going to fall in line on something. Take the tax reform bill. You know, if you're a Republican member of Congress and you have a big retail company in your district, you're going to be pretty poorly inclined towards something like a border adjustment that will help exporters and manufacturers but might really hurt a retail company. So they're going to have to try to find a way, along with the leadership of the Republican Party, to get folks to find a way to compromise if they want to get these big bills done, as they've described.
We're speaking with Ted Mann, Wall Street Journal reporter in the Washington, D.C. Bureau. His piece is called Trump's Legislative Agenda Faces Headwinds. Boy, we're talking about some Republican divisions here, and that's almost dismissing the fact that he, in all likelihood, will need some Democratic votes for some of this stuff, no?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that is going to be the case, I think especially on the infrastructure package that he's described, and that infrastructure already comes in line behind these big initiatives like Obamacare and the tax bill. You had early on some Democrats kind of saying, okay, on infrastructure, we'll cooperate with the president. If he wants to spend $1 trillion on new bridges and highways, they're happy to do it. What they won't, I think, be likely to find is a lot of agreement on how to pay for some of this stuff. Senate leadership and on the Democratic side have said essentially that we should do this all through direct funding by the federal government. That's not at all what Trump has described himself. He wants to do public-private partnerships and to do tax breaks for investors to try to get private money involved. So there could be a lot of, you know, if we do get to the point of a big infrastructure bill moving through Congress where you have a long desired project in a given congressional district, that could be something that's very enticing to a Republican or a Democratic member of Congress to support.
Thanks, Ted. Wall Street Journal reporter Ted Mann. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon Attorney General Jeff Sessions may not have been clear about his contacts with Russian officials during the election, but this much is: the controversy over any Kremlin involvement in U.S. politics is not going away anytime soon. Sessions yesterday became the second high-ranking member of the Trump administration to take a hit over conversations with Russia's envoy to the U.S., recusing himself from any probe that examines communications between Trump aides and Moscow. Yesterday, Sessions said he did meet with the ambassador.
One very brief after a speech, and one with two of my senior staffers, professional staffers, with the Russian ambassador in Washington.
In his January confirmation hearing, Sessions said he did not meet with the Russian ambassador. As the vice presidential candidate, Mike Pence frequently criticized rival Hillary Clinton for using a private email server. Now the Indianapolis Star is reporting that Pence used a private email account to conduct public business as Indiana's governor, and his AOL account was subjected to a phishing scheme last spring. A Pence spokesman says any comparison to Clinton's emails is absurd. President Trump has two more cabinet members in place. Former Texas Governor Rick Perry has been sworn in as the nation's energy secretary, and Ben Carson was sworn in as secretary of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. The widow of the gunman who killed 49 people at a nightclub in Florida must remain in jail after prosecutors argued that she was a threat to the community and a flight risk. A federal judge in Florida stayed another judge's order issued that would have released Nora Salmon from a California jail. Salmon was arrested in California in January on federal charges she knew before last June shootings in Orlando that her husband, Omar Mateen, was planning the attack and concocted a cover story for him. Talk about a windfall. A California high school has made millions of dollars from the initial public offering of Snap Incorporated, the company behind the Snapchat photo messaging app. The board of St. Francis High School in Mountain View agreed to invest $15,000 in seed money in Snap in 2012 when the company was just getting started. Snap shares soared yesterday in their debut, giving the high school a $24 million return on its $15,000 investment.
Not bad.
No.
Not bad. One of the students' parents, I guess, was involved
in venture capitalist.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That is great. Yeah, sell it now. I wonder how they made that initial pitch, because you know, Snapchat's never made money.
Because kids. What else? Kids.
Right, and they all use it, right?
Yeah.
Amazing. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If your retirement plans include an encore career, look before you leap. Half of employees say they expect to work at least part-time while in retirement. Here's Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com, and what to keep in mind. Kelly, what's up here?
We know that a lot of consumers expect that they're going to work for a good long while because either they need to or they want to. There were some numbers out earlier this year that it's about half of employees say that they're going to work at least part-time in retirement. Sometimes these are people that are really looking to shore up their savings. Other times this is a way to really test drive and do something that you've always wanted to do but didn't really think was possible as your main career.
Those numbers of people who say they plan to do something in retirement, higher than, say, a past generation?
Yes, definitely. You know, we see especially younger workers really assume that they're going to be doing some sort of work in retirement, more so even than older workers. And that tends to be the younger group, especially where they're saying, you know, they want to start a business or they're looking at this as a way to really launch a second career.
All right. The other reasons are you need money or benefits, I presume, right?
Exactly. You need money. You need benefits. They're looking for something that's a little more in line with something that they wanted to do previously. They're looking for something a little less stressful, things along those lines.
Got it. All right. So what do you do then? How do you start to piece this together if it's something you want to try?
Well, the first thing you want to think about is, can you financially afford to make some sort of a shift in your career? If you're thinking, you know, especially that you need some sort of extra income that you can't afford to be fully out of the workforce, you want to know, you know, what sort of financial shape are you in? If this is a second career maybe that requires some sort of an investment, like you're launching a business, could you afford to have a couple of years where you're maybe not making any money at all, or where you're really dipping into some of the savings that you've accrued? You want to really run those numbers and make sure that you're not giving anything up beyond that. Also, for a lot of cases, you know, it can be harder to be employed as an older worker, so you want to be thinking about, are you giving up some sort of a job security or any other benefits there that you might not be able to replicate in a second career.
What about the lack of skills, though? I mean, that seems kind of hard to pull that together after you spent most of your entire working life doing something else.
Yeah, if you're making a big shift, that's a really important thing to consider, is what sort of skills or experience are you going to need to fully move into a different career. That's why a lot of experts talk about test driving it before you go, whether that's, you know, getting any on-the-job training that you might be able to get in your current career to help you pivot, or taking on volunteer opportunities, or, you know, even a sort of side gig, if you will, in that new career while you're still working, to really understand what's involved in this, to make sure you have the skills that you can apply them, and also it's really what you want to do. I mean, a lot of times when you look at what somebody else is doing, it's that sort of grass is greener on the other side issue of, you know, maybe this isn't really a great job once you get into it and you're doing it full time. You want to be able to test that as best you can.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Are you looking for a great wine at a great price? The solution is Cameron Hughes Wines. He's got a fascinating story. Cameron Hughes has relationships with these high-end wineries and producers all around the world, where he sources his wine and sells direct to you for much less than you'd pay under other labels. His wines deliver on price, value, and quality. Best price, best wine, quality guaranteed. The best part is Cam guarantees all his wines. If you're unhappy with any bottle you buy from him, he'll make it right. Now, Cameron Hughes doesn't typically offer discounts because his prices are so much less than retail, but he's offering our listeners a fantastic deal on your first order of three or more bottles. Free shipping on that order and a sommelier-grade corkscrew. Only if you go to chwine.com and use my code DEAL. The only way to get free shipping and your free sommelier corkscrew, go to chwine.com. chwine.com. Shop for your wine. Enter my code DEAL at checkout. Don't wait. It's a limited time offer. This wine is fantastic. The deal is phenomenal. And I want you to go online and order it today. Again, chwine.com with the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Friday, March 3. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Sessions will recuse himself from any Trump campaign investigations. New study says more than 80% of groups that advocate for sick patients accept funding from drug and medical device companies. Yankees have a farmhand in spring training named Eric Ruth. Atlanta United and Minnesota United make their MLS debuts this weekend. First day for Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, and he rode a horse to work. And the Alabama teenager being called a hero. That story in about 20 minutes. Young men facing serious charges such as sexual assaults or felony drug dealing often are booted from college football or basketball teams as coaches face pressure to take a hard line about off-field misconduct. But when such behavior gets them kicked off of one team, Wall Street Journal reporter Melissa Korn says the players may get another shot at stardom elsewhere. Melissa, how'd you put this together?
We set the bar quite high for our kind of internal database. So somebody who was just accused of something did not necessarily make the list. There had to have been formal criminal charges filed, and the case was adjudicated in some way. So these people pleaded guilty to those charges or to lesser charges. Anything that excluding them being found innocent or the charges being outright dropped. So some of them did have kind of deferred prosecution arrangements where if they stayed out of trouble for a set amount of time, things would disappear from their record, things like that. But this is a much higher bar than just an accusation or an allegation or even an arrest.
Got it. All right, so give an example of an athlete that you came across.
Sure. So one of the ones we talk about in the piece is Alex Figueroa. He had been booted from the University of Miami football team a couple years ago after being arrested for and later charged with sexual battery in an incident with a 17-year-old girl while he was down in Miami. And after agreeing to a deal that would allow him to avoid jail time, he suited up for Garden City Community College in Kansas, and then just this semester joined Central Oklahoma. So So he's going to play this next season for another school and still has his sights set on joining the NFL.
Full scholarship?
Currently, yes.
Yeah. Anybody saying that there's something wrong here, or is the argument that they deserve a second chance, or both?
A little bit of both. So, yes, people deserve a second chance when they do something wrong. Teenagers do stupid stuff. But sometimes these are repeat offenders, and sometimes this is more than stupid stuff. This tally of 100-plus does not include DUIs or misdemeanor marijuana possession. This is, again, things like rape and weapons possession and battery. So, yes, people deserve a second chance, and there's been a lot of push to have colleges not consider criminal backgrounds when they're looking at admission. But admission to college and access to education is very different from the kind of hero worship that many student-athletes get, especially at Division I schools, you know, where they're on national television every week playing a game, or they've got boosters supporting them, and they get free gear and free education and potentially a pathway to the pros.
Right. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal higher education reporter Melissa Korn. Her piece is called "Scores of College Athletes Who Faced Felony Charges Get Second Chance." I think I understood, too, from your story, there's kind of a lack of consistent application of rules or openness about this, too, right?
Right. So there's a lot of confusion in higher ed generally about what schools are or are not allowed to say or share about their students. So in doing this story, I got everything from, when I reached out to all of the schools involved, I got everything from, we can't comment because of federal privacy law. We can't even confirm that this person was a student, even if they were listed on the team's roster on the school website. They would not confirm it to me. Up to, here, what do you want to know? We'll tell you everything. So, and if they're telling me that means they're also inconsistent in what they're telling other schools. So an athletic director from one school might call their counterpart at another institution and ask for the details of why somebody was leaving the school. And depending on who they talk to, they might get a real answer. They might get, oh, well, there were just some issues, but he's a good kid, I swear.
Thanks, Melissa. Wall Street Journal reporter Melissa Korn. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. I've got Twitter up right now if you want to try to chat. I'm there at Gordon Deal. Glad you're with us and good Friday to you. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online over the past few days. And we're joined live by Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith. Morning, Charlotte. How about Ash Wednesday at the top of the list?
Good morning, Gordon. And we actually get two trends for the price of one this week. It's back-to-back and related holidays, Ash Wednesday and Mardi Gras dominated our searches. People were curious about their origins. But what's interesting is that this year, Ash Wednesday surpassed searches for Mardi Gras, maybe indicating a shift. And the country's actually split in terms of which state is searching more for Mardi Gras versus Ash Wednesday.
Is that right?
Yeah, pretty interesting.
I find it hard to believe that we're making that shift, but I'll withhold judgment till maybe we get a little more data on that. Explain this. Is it Pompe disease?
It's Pompeii disease. Yeah, interesting. So what's interesting is President Donald Trump delivered his first speech to Congress this week, which was largely intended to set the course for his policy agenda. But what drove people to our search box this week was Pompeii disease, a rare genetic disorder that the president highlighted in his address. So we saw a lot of people were asking questions like, what is Pompeii disease? Why did Donald Trump mention it? And it turns out that this speech was actually on Rare Disease Day.
Yeah,
so Donald Trump is just trying to raise awareness of one of the many rare diseases that impact the lives of his constituents.
Yeah, there's an interesting angle to that also, in that the president has talked about the high cost of drug prices, yet I saw, I think it was a Reuters report that said something like the drug that helps treat Pompeii disease goes for about $300,000 a year. Also, Snap making news. Big debut on Wall Street yesterday.
That is correct. Snap opened at $24 a share at the New York Stock Exchange. It is the largest IPO for a U.S.-based tech company since Facebook's $16 billion offering in 2012. So that was super interesting. There are a few trending questions this week, including what is the Snap stock symbol, and that's Snap, how do I buy Snapchat stock? When will the IPO be available? Mm-hmm. And why aren't my Snapchat filters working?
And since you are here doing this interview with us live this morning, I'm going to have to presume that you did not cash in millions on selling stock for Snap.
You're right, Gordon.
Yeah.
I was not one of those lucky people.
Me either, which is why I, too, am speaking with you live this morning. Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars has a great cast. This week, they announced their new cast for season 24 will include the likes of Simone Biles, Nancy Kerrigan, Mr. T, and Bachelor Nick Vile. Can't get rid of that guy.
Very good. Let me finish by playing this clip from the musical Impressions with Alicia Keys. Alicia Keys doing Adele, right?
That is Alicia Keys doing Adele, and that clip is from our YouTube video of the week. Alicia Keys guest starred on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon to do her musical impressions segment, and she was belting out some unexpected twists on classic hits, and what you just heard was her impression of Adele singing the Alphabet song.
Pretty good.
So check it out for more of these fun songs.
Always entertaining. Thanks for a few minutes, Charlotte. Appreciate it. Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith with us live this morning. By the way, while Alicia Keys doing Adele was pretty good, Alicia Keys doing Gwen Stefani, not so good. Just to be fair, 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Transition seamlessly from presentation to meeting and from work to home with the Dell Latitude 13 7000 series, the laptop that takes care of business. The powerful performance and incredible battery life from this reliable business-class PC featuring Intel Core processors lets small business employees do their best work wherever work takes them. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio.
8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the White House is standing by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has now recused himself from any investigation into Russian meddling in the presidential election. Sessions' decision follows revelations that he spoke twice with the Russian ambassador to the U.S. during the presidential campaign, but didn't mention it during his confirmation hearing.
We talked about a little bit about terrorism, as I recall, and somehow the subject of the Ukraine came up. I had had the Ukrainian ambassador in my office the day before.
President Trump's blaming the Democrats for the controversy, saying the Democrats are overplaying their hand. A top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee is accusing the FBI of withholding key information about its investigation into Russia's meddling in the election. Congressman Adam Schiff of California attended a briefing with FBI Director James Comey and later met with reporters.
We're going to need the FBI to fully cooperate, to be willing to tell us the length and breadth of any counterintelligence investigations they're conducting. At this point, the director was not willing to do that.
Schiff called the House panel's probe among the most serious that it's ever done. President Trump's eldest son was likely paid at least $50,000 for an appearance late last year before a French think tank whose founder and his wife are allies of the Russian government. The Wall Street Journal reports that Donald Trump Jr. addressed a dinner on October 11th at the Ritz Hotel in Paris. The meeting represents another in a string of contacts over the past year between members of the president's inner circle and individuals connected to Moscow and to Russian interests. President Trump today will be visiting a private religious school in Florida, sending a clear sign that his education agenda will focus on school choice. The White House says the president will tour St. Andrew's Catholic School in Orlando. Oh, the old fat finger excuse. Amazon blaming human error for an outage at its cloud service unit that caused widespread disruption to internet traffic across the U.S. on Wednesday. Amazon says the outage started with an employee's typo at its Northern Virginia data center.
My bad. Anything happen?
Just millions of people knocked off the line.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Alabama high school student Jesse Frank was riding the bus home last month when he suddenly felt the vehicle start to veer off the road. Children on the bus shrieked as they watched the driver, who was suffering a medical emergency, collapse behind the wheel. But the Pell City High School senior remained calm. The teenager sprung into action, bolting to the front of the bus and taking control of the steering wheel. Jesse told CBS affiliate WIAT Television that he used one of his hands to push down on the brake until the bus came to a halt. He then dialed 911 and waited for assistance. After help arrived, officials say he stuck around to comfort the younger children who were shaken up. School officials are now hailing Jesse as a hero and crediting him with helping save the lives of 38 students on board, most of them elementary school students. And you're asking, well, why was a high school kid on a bus with elementary school students? Well, he was helping another student who was struggling with speaking English. At a recent city council meeting, Pell City Mayor Bill Pruitt presented Jesse with a key to the city. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.